This is a recording of the Rodrigo Wright Castro Conference with MaxCom Telecommunications on July 29th, 2014. And good morning and welcome to today's MaxCom Telecommunications second quarter 2014 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We remind you that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any questions or if you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. After this presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. Before we begin, let me say that information expressed or implied during the conference may include forward-looking statements that involve risks or uncertainties that are detailed from time to time in the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission filed with the company. Words such as estimate, project, plan, believe, expect, anticipate, intend, and similar expressions may identify such forward-looking statements. The company wants to caution listeners that any forward-looking statements in this call or made by the company's management involve risks or uncertainties that may change based on various important factors not under the control of the company. These forward-looking statements represent the company's judgment at this time for the call. The company disclaims, however, any intent or obligation to update this forward-looking statement. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. Enrique Ibarra Añana, Chief Executive Officer. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, operator. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our quarterly conference call to discuss MaxCom's operating and financial results for the quarter that ended on June 30, 2014. Today, here with me on the call are Armando Rivero, our Chief Financial Officer, Miguel Cabrero, our Finance Director, Gabriel Cejudo, Sales and Marketing Vice President, Fernanda Ramo, the Head of Legal and Regulatory Affairs, and Rodrigo Wright, our Head of Investor Relations. This call is being recorded and a playback will be available later today. Our earnings release, which has already been distributed, is now posted in our website and available for download. As already mentioned, the information expressed or implied during the conference may include forward-looking statements, and these are subject to risks and uncertainties that may cause actual results to differ from statements made today. At MaxCom, we are currently focused on our extensive internal transformation, as well as on preparing and testing new technologies and services that will accelerate our future growth. We are fully immersed in the turnaround of the company and will share with you in this call our current progress. A key aspect of our plan is to upgrade and strengthen our network infrastructure. We are happy to report that we have completed the renovation of the electronics of two of our metropolitan fiber rings, and the third one will be completed by August. The renovation of the electronics of our core IP network will also be completed by August. These two projects will provide us with more data transmission capacities in our network that will result in a better quality of service for our customers, especially our TV and internet users. We also acquired two geographically redundant and latest generation IMS platforms from Alcatel-Lucent that will increase the resiliency of our communication services and will allow us to offer new functionalities and features to our customers. The new IMS exchanges are scheduled for production for the first quarter of 2015. In addition to strengthening our network infrastructure, we recently hired a new director of engineering who is actively working in reinforcing our internal operational processes based on best practice frameworks, as well as in reinforcing the human talent required by the company to drive our transformation. Our projects of implementing SAP and Netcracker to replace all of our legacy systems are progressing according to their plan. The first deliverable of SAP will be in production next November and will support the operations of new products on that timeframe. We will migrate all of our residential customers to SAP during the first quarter of 2015 and our commercial customers shortly afterwards. The Netcracker provisioning system will go live too during the first quarter of 2015. As we have expressed it in previous calls, the renovation of our IT operational systems is a key aspect of our turnaround. Regarding our TV service offering for our retail market, we are working in two fronts. We're adding new features and functionalities to our legacy IPTV platform that will be ready during Q3. And second, we are working in the implementation of our new TV platform that will provide added value to our customers, more and better content, as well as cheaper set-top boxes that will allow us to grow our customer base with less CapEx. This new platform is scheduled for production during Q4, and once it is up and running, we will provision all of our new subscribers in this platform. Our existing subscribers hosted on the legacy platform will be offered an upselling choice. In our commercial business unit, we have been taking actions to enable our growth strategy. These actions include refreshing our product portfolio, re-engineering our sales force management methodology to achieve and maintain a high-performance sales team, redefining our sales compensation plan, bringing in new talent and terminating underperforming sales personnel, and segmenting our customers and prospects to better serve them. Regarding this new talent, the company hired a new sales director with extensive experience in the telecom market and will be focused on the growth of this business unit. We believe that the joint execution of these actions will solve our structural issues in the commercial business unit and represent important enablers for our growth. As part of our transformation process, and with the help of a re-engineering consultancy firm, we have been improving our sales, pre-sales, and delivery processes by customer segment. The new processes will be ultimately implemented in the new IT stack. However, immediate process improvements have already been incorporated and implemented in our current legacy systems, and we have already achieved important improvements. For example, we have reduced implementation times for new customers from an average of 45 days to an average of 19 days, which improves industry standards. Regarding our retail business unit, we are very excited in Maxcom testing an initiative that has great potential for the growth of our network footprint. We have just launched two pilots to test the use of wireless access technologies using unlicensed spectrum. One pilot involves the use of Wi-Fi and the other the use of a proprietary radio technology. The goal is to prove their technical capabilities and their underlying economics for offering double and triple play services. We expect both pilots to be successful given the existing deployments and credentials of the vendors involved. We expect to have a preliminary assessment by mid-September, based on which we will make the decision to deploy two or three fully commercial clusters by Q4 of this year. The architectures we are piloting not only involve the wireless access, but the corresponding aggregation and core technologies to ensure quality of service and security, both critical elements of our commercial offer. There are three major advantages of these access technologies in comparison to a traditional copper. First is CapEx improvement. Second is a reduced time to market. We can reduce deployment times for new clusters from months to about 4 weeks. And third, the efficient use of resources. Wireless-based deployments eliminate two key intrinsic inefficiencies found in copper-based deployments. The first is leaving unused copper pairs in those cluster areas where we find lower demand for our services. And the second is foregoing sales in those cluster areas where we find more demand than the available copper pairs. Regarding the regulatory changes in Mexico, the new federal telecommunications law was approved by Congress and was published in the Official Gazette on July 14th. This new law represents Maxcom with risks and opportunities. First, all telecom concessionaries, including Maxcom, will no longer be able to charge for long-distance calls. Such calls will be charged at local rates. The rate for terminating calls on Telmex and Telcel networks will be zero. On the other hand, Telmex and Telcel will pay a negotiated rate for terminating calls on Maxcom's network. Telmex will have to unbundle its local loop. This is a clear opportunity for Maxcom in the midterm. It facilitates expanding our coverage into more cities, areas of a city, or even into other socioeconomic customer segments. The unbundling will take two forms. Maxcom will have physical access to the copper or fiber making up Telmex's last mile, and second, Maxcom will be able to resell Telmex telephony and ADSL services. Telcel is required to offer network services for mobile virtual network operators, called MVNOs, under regulated pricing and terms. Maxcom is a lead MVNO in Mexico with over 7 years and 42,000 subscribers. Our growth, however, has been hindered by the lack of competitive tariffs and terms. Under the new law, Maxcom may have the opportunity to relaunch an aggressive mobile play. Maxcom is having an active participation in all the committees established by the IFETEL, which is the Mexican Communications Regulatory Agency, in order to post her views on how laws should be implemented at the operating level. Now I will turn the call over to Miguel Cabrero, our Director of Finance, who will talk about our financial performance.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning to everyone. As we usually do, we will start going over the main points of the balance sheet and P&L in order to highlight the most relevant information about the quarter. Starting with the balance sheet, the cash and cash equivalents position shows a healthy and solid situation. We ended the quarter with 1,795 million pesos below of the 1,955 million pesos registered at the end of the past reporting quarter, and also much higher than the 116 million pesos reported by the end of the second quarter of last year. During this quarter, the company paid semi-annually interest of $5.3 million. In net account receivable, we had around 43 million pesos or 6% decrease on a year-over-year basis, passing from 679 million pesos in the second quarter 2013 to 636 million pesos in this reporting quarter. We maintain constant focus on our working capital performance in order to maximize the utilization of our assets. In value-added tax account, the variation was 69 million year-over-year. The incremental amount derived from the increase in the interconnection costs directly associated to the wholesale business. Sequentially, the increase was 30 million pesos. We have experienced some delays in the value-added tax reimbursements, consequence of unexpected information requirements of the authorities. As we know, other companies are suffering similar delays. The account over sundry debtors showed a decrease of 50 million or 54% as a result of the compensation of taxes period of 2013. This number is comprised mainly by the booking of a non-cash charge of impairment by the end of last year that was already explained in deep in the fourth quarter report. The write-off of certain fixed assets also registered by the end of 2013, and the net effect of investments and depreciation during the last 12 months. Sequentially, fixed assets shows a slight increase of 24 million pesos. As Enrique explained, the upgrade and renovation of our infrastructure and IT systems is in progress, and we will see additional capex in the following quarters. Moving on to the right side of the balance sheet, accounts payable decreased 16% when compared to the second quarter 2013, reaching the balance of 370 million pesos at the end of the present quarter. When compared to the previous quarter, account payables decreased 9 million or 2%. In the account other long-term liabilities, a positive variation of 55 million is observed in a year-over-year basis, as a result of the negotiation in the third quarter of last year, short-term payables to be paid in term of more than 1 year. Sequentially, the reduction was $26 million. At the end of this quarter, the outstanding value of the notes remains on $175.7 million, but it's important to understand that the balance sheet reflects this figure under IFRS. In addition, the company maintained coupon-only swaps for $99 million notional amount to cover against peso devaluation the coupon payments of the senior notes. Capital stock reflects an increase of 2.25 billion pesos on a year-over-year basis as a result of the equity contributions of the fourth quarter 2013. As you can view in our financial statements, the company maintained a healthy balance sheet with an important cash position, more than enough for the forthcoming investments. Regarding the P&L, revenues for the quarter were 675 million pesos, an increase of 6% when compared with the 635 million pesos registered in the second quarter 2013. The most important contribution to that growth came from the wholesale segment with an increase of 81 million pesos on a year-over-year basis. The other business units showed a decrease of 41 million pesos. In the residential business unit, revenues decreased 12% on a year-over-year basis, and on a sequential basis, decrease was 2%. The residential REUs in service decreased 26,000 units on a year-over-year basis. This decrease is mainly due by the disconnection in the fourth quarter of last year of approximately 34,000 REUs with low output. Despite this reduction, the broadband REUs grew 15% on a year-over-year basis. Residential ARPU have a slight decrease from 156 pesos to 152 pesos on a sequential basis, and on the year-over-year basis, decrease was 4% approximately. On the other hand, commercial business revenues decreased 3% on a year-over-year basis and 4% on a sequential basis. This quarter, we were unable to replicate the success of last quarter in the sale and lease of capacity. Nevertheless, we are confident that the initiatives with the commercial sales team that Enrique already mentioned will give our company the fundamentals to regain growth in this important business unit. Regarding our use, the segment presented an important increase of 22% on a year-over-year basis and 10% growth when compared to the last reported quarter. Public telephony showed a decrease of 18% year-over-year and 3% sequentially. This is a sunset business, and we do not expect a recovery by this side. Moreover, the company is focused in the transformation of the fundamentals of the core business, the commercial and residential business units. Regarding wholesale revenues in the second quarter of this year were 259 million pesos, 46% more in comparison with the 179 million pesos of the same period last year. Wholesale is an opportunistic business, and this quarter we took advantage of favorable market conditions, but as I have mentioned before, we cannot anticipate that this trend will continue. Regarding costs, network operation costs increased 88 million pesos or 36% on a year-over-year basis as a result of higher traffic in the wholesale business unit that raised the calling price base and long-distance termination costs. Technical expenses amounted 37 million in this reporting quarter, an increase of 17% on a year-over-year basis, but 18% lesser with respect to the previous quarter. The gross profit margin for the quarter was 45%, equivalent to 304 million pesos, below 357 million pesos of the same period last year. The reduction in the margin from 56 to 45 is explained by the increase in the wholesale traffic, a low-margin business. On a sequential basis, gross profit decreased 19 million or 6%. SG&A expenses were 172 million, showing a slight increase of 1% when compared to second quarter 2013. Sequentially, the expenses remained in the same range. EBITDA was 131 million pesos in this quarter, 30% lower than the EBITDA reported in the second quarter 2013, and 13% less than the figure reported in the first quarter of this year. We are aware that EBITDA underperformed this quarter as a consequence of weak residential and commercial revenues, but we are implementing changes in both business units, widely commented by Enrique, in order to resume the path of growth in the next quarters. Depreciation charges reached 92 million pesos at the end of the quarter, 41% lesser than the number recorded in the same period of 2013. The reduction is explained by the booking of impairment charges and asset value adjustments implemented during the last quarter of 2013. Operating income of the quarter was 23 million pesos above the 57 million reported in the second quarter 2013, a significant improvement of 169%. Interest expense showed a very positive decrease of 63% when compared to the same period last year as a consequence of lower interest rate in our senior notes. Finally, net result of the quarter was a loss of 26 million pesos, which is a significant better figure when compared to the 226 million pesos of net losses reported on the same period last year. Thanks for your time, and please do not hesitate to address any inquiry to Rodrigo or to myself. And with that, I will hand the call over to the operator for the question and answer session. Operator, please.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, the floor is open for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, you may do so now by pressing star 1 on your touch-tone phones. We'll take questions in the order that they are received. If at any time you need to remove yourself from the questioning queue or your question was answered, please press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Our first question comes from Jacob Seinfeld with J.P. Morgan.
Hey, good morning. Thanks very much for the call. First, I was wondering if you could talk about the financial impact you expect from the recently passed telecom reforms.
Yes, Jacob, this is Miguel. We have analyzed the two impacts, the more important impacts of the new regulation. First of all, the national long distance, as you know, starting on January, we won't be able to charge our customers national long distance, and this will have an impact of around 15 million pesos per quarter in the impact in the EBITDA. But at the same time, we won't pay interconnection charges to Telmex and America Mobile, and that will represent around 12 million of savings per quarter. So the total impact per quarter will be around 3 million against a loss of EBITDA every quarter.
Okay, that's okay. So a net negative impact, small.
Yes, of around 3 million pesos. It's not a very significant impact.
Okay. And, you know, I was wondering, there's AMX has obviously announced that they plan to sell some assets, and we were on a conference call yesterday with one of your competitors that talked about, you know, the increase in competition that's likely to occur, and how they were pursuing possible M&A opportunities. Can you talk about, you know, how you see the company in the coming years and, you know, the competitive landscape and sort of your plans?
Well, you know, basically, you know, as I mentioned in the call, we are immersed in the turnaround and transformation of the company. So, you know, we are aware that in the midterm, the landscape will be different given the new regulation and the plans that you just mentioned regarding what, you know, America Mobile is planning to do and what it's going to be obliged to do by the regulation. But what, you know, we're convinced that, you know, with the transformation of the company, we're doing an having the company work with a very sound operational platform and, you know, with good processes and with a very efficient internal machinery, that will basically, you know, allow us to compete in the future landscape, you know, in a good position. So we're not, you know, thinking currently on M&A possibilities. As you mentioned that you know, you discussed with one of our competitors yesterday, we're basically focusing on transforming the company and having a very sound operational basis to prepare for the competitive landscape that will be coming with the new regulation.
Okay. And then in terms of, I don't know if you have this yet, but how much, have you decided roughly how much CapEx, you know, you expect to spend over the coming years? Is it too early?
For this year, I can reconfirm the guidance. We expect to expend around $75 million. And for the next year, we still don't have our final number, but I can anticipate that we'll be around this number, maybe a little bit higher if we deploy intensively a new our footprint in the residential areas, but not so much more.
So around 70, a little higher than 75.
75, yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Andres Otterfried with VaporMass.
Hi, good morning. I have several questions. So the first one's regarding the disconnecting RGUs. What's the main reason for keep doing this disconnection, and could you give us the feeling of the company if this will continue for the rest of 2014, or do you have any estimates of this for this to stop? And the second question regards the RPUs in residential and commercial segments. Could you give us more color about the lower RPU in these two segments, and tell us your strategy following the public telephone segment? Tell us a little bit why do you think this segment could add value to maximum business?
Yes, the disconnection of RGUs occurred in the last quarter of last year. In that period, we disconnected 34,000 residential RGUs, basically because there were very low ARPU RGUs. Most of them were prepaid service, in which the customers were paying very little amount of money every month. So in order to free capacity in our clusters, in order to sell to better customers, we disconnect these 34,000 customers. During this year, we have not disconnect more customers using an official criteria. The disconnection were under the current run of the business. Regarding the ARPU of residential, during the first two quarters of this year, the ARPU of the customers have declined, basically as a result of the disconnection of customers with very higher ARPU than the customers that are entering the company. You know, packages nowadays are cheaper than the packages that we sold 2 or 3 years ago. So the mix is deteriorating, is jeopardizing our ARPU in this segment. And regarding the ARPU of the commercial business, the decline in the ARPU was mainly caused by the loss of traffic in certain customers, basically, and we are working to regain that traffic in order to reposition the ARPU in the previous levels of by the end of last year.
Okay, thank you. And regarding the public telephone, can you tell us why do you keep this segment, and why you think this will add value to maximum business?
You know, this is for us. This is people call a cash cow. We are taking advantage of the liquidity of the business. You know, we collect every day money from our public phone booths, but we are evaluating the future of this business. And in this future are several alternatives, and when we have arrived to a conclusion, we will let you know what we will do with this business unit.
Okay, thank you. Just about the network operating cost, what was the benefit of asymmetric rates implemented by the IFT last April, and do you expect that the network operating cost will be at these levels or similar levels to those shown in this quarter for the rest of the year?
As we stated in the last conference call, we expect around 4 million pesos of savings regarding the asymmetrical tariffs implemented by the authority in this quarter. And if we improve our revenue mix, if we increase the commercial and residential revenues, the margins will go up and the cost will go down. This quarter, as we explained in our earnings release, and as I mentioned in the conference, the interconnection costs are higher because we have a revenue mix with a very important participation of the wholesale business, and this is a very low margin business. That's why we have this margin this quarter, but what we expect is to improve that figure for the next quarters.
So basically, the interconnection cost for international traffic is overdoing the benefit from asymmetric rates implemented by AFT, right?
Can you repeat your question, please? Because we weren't able to.
I was just saying that the asymmetric rates implemented by the IFT were overcompensated by the increases in cost of the international traffic drove by wholesale segment. Is that right?
Yes, you're right.
Okay, thank you very much. Just for last, could you give us Maxcom opinion about the investment and asset sale proposed by AMX?
Well, I guess that we are all waiting to see what's going to happen in reality. We are very we're very close to the news and very close to the opinion of the industry and very close to the committees that were assembled by the regulator agency. And, you know, we're trying to figure out what's going to happen in the near and midterm regarding American Mobile strategy.
Thank you very much for answering all my questions. Thank you.
Sure.
Our next question comes from James O'Malley with Outrider Management.
Good morning. I was hoping you could explain again why commercial traffic has gone down on a sequential basis. I didn't follow the exact reason.
Well, we have around 3,000 customers in the commercial side, but we have a great concentration of revenues in around 100 customers. And part of these customers are big companies, and other are call centers. And you know, all these clients all the time operate with another carrier. And sometimes they decide because they receive a better commercial offer, a better tariff, to move the traffic to other carriers. What we are trying to do is to assure a very competitive commercial offer, and at the same time to offer them levels of service and redundancy and several features that assure that they will maintain the traffic with us. But we're running this process is part of the transformation of the that Enrique explained earlier, and we expect to have less volatility in this in the revenues in this segment in the next quarter.
Also, what happens is that the company has relied heavily on selling the voice product, which is the traditional telephony product, and we're as I mentioned, we're upgrading our network and the electronics that actually power our fibers, and we have a very competitive data offering that we are actually selling aggressively, which is a better product in terms of income and the behavior of income. So we're changing the mix of selling only voice, which is what our sales personnel has been traditionally focused on, to selling data products and added value services around the data products.
Okay, thanks. And we shouldn't see any sort of turnaround, though, within the next quarter, right? Like, this is going to be a 2 to 3 quarter initiative.
Well, the transformation, it takes time because, we're basically touching, all of the up areas that power and operate the company. So, as I mentioned, we're working with our sales personnel to have a much better performing sales team and, be able to, to have effective sales speeches and be able to sell all of our new value proposition that we have assembled to our customers. We need to be able to communicate and sell that new value proposition. And we're also changing, our, network infrastructure, network operations. So, what we expect to see is much healthier numbers in terms that, whatever we report is, that will be supported by a stronger foundation, by better operations, by eventually by a leaner organization. And, that we should be more effective, every quarter.
Good, great, thanks.
Sure.
Our next question comes from Ivan Hernandez with the Deutsche Bank.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. We saw about 6,000 disconnections in the wholesale RGUs, but about 8,000 connections in commercial voice RGUs. Does this have something to do with an accounting change or something like that? I mean, are these two account related?
Not at all. Those are independent events. The number is similar, but it's a coincidence. That's all.
Okay, and can you give us a little bit of color about the disconnections in the wholesale RGU?
Yes, we activate capacity to serve our customers in the wholesale business, and when a customer or a group of customers are not using their capacity, we disconnect those lines in order to use them in other business units. But as you have seen with the revenues, they are not directly related with the level of revenues. It is related with the number of customers that we have.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Alvaro Gonzalez with the GMP Securities.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for the call. Most of my questions have been answered, but correct me if I'm wrong. It's fair to assume that most of the turnaround initiatives will take place or will be reflected starting 2015. Is that the case, right?
Well, it's a gradual process. I mentioned that some of the important deliveries will be, in production by the first quarter of 2015. But what we're doing in the meantime is we are having, intermediate milestones by introducing improvements along the way. I mean, we're changing to a completely new IT stack with redesigned processes. And that basically is a gradual process. You end up reaping most of the benefits once the IT stack is implemented. And as you say, that will be in 2015. But we're improving all the aspects of the operation gradually during this time frame and we're basically moving along.
And do you think with this process this turnaround process you will be able to reach the 2014 guidance that you had?
Okay. Yes, we want to let you know that the revenues guidance will remain the same. The CAPEX guidance is the same, as we already mentioned, $75 million. But the EBITDA guidance, we are reducing our guidance from, and we expect to be in the range from 600 to 650 million pesos this year.
Okay, and how will that affect your cash position? Will be fair to assume it's more like 1.4 million pesos?
Yeah, we think we will be above that number, close to 1.5 billion pesos.
Right, billion. And I just want to gather your thoughts of, I understand that you're saying that you're not planning to merge, but how viable do you think that it's going to be able to compete without merging once, and if major competitors come to the market which have massive resources?
Well, as I mentioned before in the call, we know for sure that the competitive landscape is going to change with the new regulation and with the plans that American Model has, which, as I also mentioned before, we're all very aware in the industry of what's going to happen, but no one really knows at this point. The point where we are is that, given the size that we have, if we turn into a very lean and efficient operating machine, and we revise our value proposition as we're doing right now by refreshing our product portfolio and focus on improving our management, bringing in the talent that we require to compete, and having much better sales performance results, I think that we will be in a good position to reap the benefits that will come in the future, which, things are going to change for sure. We just want to make sure that we are prepared by being very, very efficient and very agile once the new, the new landscape defines itself.
Perfect. Thanks for long.
Our next question comes from Andres Coelho with the Scotiabank.
Yes. Thanks so much for taking the question. I would like some additional color on the wholesale business. It's always usually very volatile, but it was particularly strong during the second quarter, and it was also particularly strong for Axtel. So I was wondering exactly what's going on here, if you feel that the incumbent Telmex is perhaps lowering a little bit the competition dynamics there, perhaps letting you guys take a higher share of that traffic, or perhaps there was just a surge in traffic, or you reduced prices. Exactly, you can give us a little bit more color there.
Well, Andres, as you know, this is an opportunistic business, and in this quarter we took advantage of the decrease of the lower of the interconnection rates that we have on April the 6th, and we take advantage of that. Regarding the future, who knows? I think we're going to still take advantage of the new situations, and I think that in this quarter we're going to still having a very strong business. Looking what it's going to do for the incumbents, I don't know, but I think we're going to still having a very good business in this.
Okay, thank you. And regarding your white chip project, this new technology, I just would like to know if you need additional regulatory permissions regarding the use of public spectrum for the deployment of the Wi-Fi, the radio bases, etc., or if you just need permission from municipalities to deploy it, and they so far have shown interest shown that they are willing to have you guys deploying infrastructure in those municipalities or where you are planning to put those Wi-Fi radio bases in place.
Right. The pilots that we just started, they do not require any special regulatory permission. They use on licensed spectrum. And the idea of the pilots, as I mentioned before, is we're going to be growing our network footprint. So, you know, we're going to have alternatives in the future of a combination of growing our network footprint by building ourselves, with our own assets, or by eventually using the assets from Telmex or American Mobile. So, basically, you know, this pilots, the idea will be to grow our network footprint with a reduced capex and which a much more efficient model in terms of the use of the capex. But in terms of regulatory, requirements for its use, it has no special requirements.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from Andres Audiford with VaporMoss.
Sorry, just if you could repeat your EBITDA guidance for the rest of the year.
Yes, the guidance for this year for EBITDA will be in the range from 600 million pesos to 650 million pesos by the end of the year.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
At this time, no questions. We'd like to turn it back over to our speakers for closing comments.
Thank everyone to attend this conference. Myself and Rodrigo will be able to continue with your doubts or inquiries, so please feel free to contact us. Thank you again to be here attending this conference.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your phone lines, and thank you for joining us this afternoon.